Now, children from poor homes need help to change the way they eat, dress and conduct personal relationships to get ahead in life, a government advisor has said. Peter Brandt, who's the head of policy at the Social Mobility and Child Poverty Commission, says the following. Working class children must be taught to think and act like the middle classes if they're to get into the best universities and top professions. That's a provocative statement, isn't it? The model agent, Anthony Miller, is with us this morning. Morning to you, Anthony.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. And the trade union leader, Bumper Graham. Morning to you, Bumper.
Morning, Stephen.
Well, Anthony, are you astonished by this?
You know, I'm not at all. As you know, I own a modelling academy, and a lot of the people that I get coming to me seriously lack confidence, and that confidence comes from a lack of social skills. They haven't been encouraged to reach for the top. They haven't been told they can reach the top. And unfortunately, it's kind of almost an epidemic where we're not encouraging our children to develop to be the best they can.
Yeah, but listen to what this punter's saying. This guy is saying that people from working class backgrounds are from poor homes, need to be taught how to eat properly. Look, as if people from you know poor homes don't know how to eat properly. And who's he to say they got to dress properly?
I think there's a bigger picture there. I think what he was saying, it's across the whole spectrum. And certainly social etiquette, table manners and all that are very, very important. When you're in the middle classes, you're doing business deals at lunch, you're going to special dinners, fundraisers, etc. It's all part and parcel of that social set. But that goes with career succession. And if you want the career succession, you need all the bells and whistles to go with it, you know.
Bumper?
This is crazy stuff, Stephen. I mean, we're seeing ordinary working people being attacked either through welfare reform or their pay being restrained. And then you get the nonsense from spin doctors for the current government. And, you know, would you want to see people behaving the way city boys have behaved regularly over the years with their debaucherous behaviour?
There is a pressure, isn't there? I've experienced it myself. There's a pressure to conform, to look a certain way. You know, to refine your accent if you want to. You know, if you want to.
Well, you certainly don't have a BBC accent.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, what is a BBC accent? You know, absolutely not. Will I ever change my accent, no matter where I go? And why should someone, because they're not from an affluent background, think that they're not good enough? And Anthony, don't tell me that you're back in this.
Listen. You've picked a small part out of the entire story. Actually, I read the story as well, and what it actually said is people from poor families are afraid to approach the better universities. They're afraid to go for the better
jobs.
Yes,
but they also said, because I've read it too, they also said they need help to change the way they eat. Now, what the hell does that mean? So someone from a working class background, they need to change the way how do people from a working class background, Anthony, eat?
I'm not going. That's very clever. I'm really not going to say that everybody from working class backgrounds have bad table manners. Of course, I'm not. However, what I will say is schools, which it mentioned as well, was the type of education. Schools for the middle classes do tend to concentrate more on culture all around, so social etiquette, theatre, all different kinds of things that round you as a person. And, you know, quite frankly, if you're going to sit down and do a business meal for £100,000 or even more, you got to know how to use a knife and fork, really, haven't you?
Yeah, and yet,
Anthony, that is absolute nonsense. So it is. I mean, you have fallen in the trap of this sort of post-blur being carried on by the coalition, middle-class bourgeois nonsense. And part of the problem in this is the university is now seen to be the be-all and the end-all, and that's where the UK has got it wrong. What we need to do is recognise the dignity of labour and provide people with job opportunities, which means recognising somebody who goes in to plumbing, be electrician, be a construction worker, whatever, pride them as much as you pride the academics and the physicians of this world.
Absolutely, Bumper, but nobody is actually saying anything bad about people who do the plumbing work and the construction work. What the article is about is about people who want to...
Clown Peter Brandt is saying it.
..to be operably mobile, people who want to go up the ladder, who want to go into the corporate
world.
I'm sorry,
but people who want to go up the ladder, why can't you go up the ladder being yourself, being proud of your poor or working class background? Why can't you go up the ladder standing up very, very tall and saying, yeah, you know, maybe it didn't have a brilliant education.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If you met somebody for the first time, would you use foul language immediately in their company?
I wouldn't use.
I presume not, because that's...
Well, hold on a moment. I wouldn't use foul language. No, I would not. But I'll tell you what I don't do. Right. Well, here's the part. Here's the point. Right. I've been in the BBC what 10 years now. I'm doing all right. I don't dress in a particularly nice way because I can't get clothes to fit me. I don't have one of these posh accents, nor do I ever want one. I don't look as slick as some of the other people in here. Good luck to them. That's fine. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to walk into any meeting ever in my life and start pretending to be something I'm not. And for you to say you've got to climb up some ladder to be somebody,
of course
you
do.
No,
of course you do. And it's absolute nonsense to think otherwise. There's a reason for manners and etiquette.
We're not talking about manners here. Manners is a different thing. And by the way,
but that was something you pulled up on, which was manners. And
no, I've never used the word manners. I'm talking about this punter.
There's not one part of that article that says change who you are.
The head of policy at the Social Mobility and Child Poverty Commission is saying that poor people need to learn how to eat and dress properly.
Appropriately, yes, absolutely.
Well, Anthony, I'm quoting from the article. Peter Brandt says that they need to change the way they eat, dress, and conduct personal relationships to get ahead in life. Now, are you telling me that the Tory party of this last 15, 20 years with defrauding the public to pay for their duck ponds, etc., is the way to go forward? Climb that wonderful greasy pole.
Listen, absolutely not. But for anybody who does want to climb that greasy pole, they're going to have to know how to behave to get up the pole. There's no point in standing at the bottom of the pole and not knowing how to climb.
Well, I don't think we will take any lessons from the current government and MPs as to the way in which you should behave.
Well, here's Daniel this morning. Daniel's in Ardbo. Morning, Daniel.
No, Stephen, I'm just listening to that. I suppose yourself there, you always claim to be from a working class. I'm very proud of it.
Yes.
And I suppose, but at the same time, if you had got that wee bit of a hand up, maybe you would have been eating, you know, the couscous and the smoked salmon and the, you know, the things that you should be eating rather than the kebabs and the Chinese's.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying it would have certainly helped you along the way. And indeed, there last week on a television programme, you were dancing with some chap on television.
Yes.
And it was... You're very badly fitted suit, and at one stage were in danger of seeing your builder's crack. And
my what?
Your builder's crack. You don't know what the builder's crack is?
I don't know. Yes.
And it, you know, so if you know that wee bit of a help in how to get yourself a suit made for you, given that you're a high salary man, you know.
Do you know the way you chuckle inside to yourself at some occasions? Do you know when I chuckle to myself, and this is true, when I come across these people, yes, and they're running around and they're trying to name drop who they've met, and they're talking about their money and yes, and they're talking about their degrees and their thesis and all this nonsense.
So the rest
who
of us
cares?
Are in those circles.
Who so cares though?
Circles of people that you're in.
But are we? I'm sorry, I'm not in with those people. And can I also tell you? Are we seriously saying that those people are better than some of us?
Absolutely not. But as a working class person, you should be able to hold your head proud. To be able to sit down and eat your smoked salmon.
I always spill my food down my shirt. Like, I'm not even joking you.
All salad and, you know.
Anyway, this is not about me. Don't start turning this on to me. Mary and Lurgan. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Right. Well, what I have to say is that I would expect you, Stephen, you are on the BBC.
Yes.
You're fronting a programme. I would expect you to speak proper English. Now, twice this morning, you've used the word adaptions. No dictionary. The word is adaptations.
When did I use that?
You used that in relation to that, the story about that lady, Alicia, who needs to have adaptations done to her house.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
And you're pulling me up on it.
Yes, I am.
That's fair enough.
I expect you are there.
That's fair enough.
Presenting a programme on the BBC, and you should be speaking proper standards.
But language is different, isn't it? Language is a different argument. Fair enough, I'll take that on the chin. You're right, Mary, I'm wrong. But language is different than somebody saying that people from a working class background or poor background can't really eat properly or dress properly.
No, it's not different. It's talking about standards and everything.
Well, do you agree with this guy?
Pardon?
Do you agree with this guy in terms of poor people can't eat or dress properly?
I'm not saying that poor people cannot eat or dress properly. I think you should leave class out of it and just talk about people who do things properly and people who don't do things
properly.
Mary,
thank you. Annie and White Abbey.
Parents and schools.
Annie and Radical.
Teach people, for example, how to eat, not to poke a knife at people when they are making a point at a table.
Thank you, Mary. Morning, Annie.
Annie and Radical.
Yes, Annie.
Even as usual. Stephen, I am the oldest of 10 of a family, and I am proud that I had five brothers and four sisters, and my brothers have been all around the world because they joined the Merchant Navy.
Yeah.
I have brothers that have done catering all around the world, and I volunteer in Rathcoole, and in any area that I've met Mr. Haynes. I have met members of the royal family, and I have manners.
Mm-hmm. But manners is completely different, Annie, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
And let's all face it, we've all come across, and presumably you have too,
yes.
we've all come across these people who they do have a rather refined accent.
Yes.
And they do like to tell you how they've bumped into maybe, I don't know, sat down with the First Minister and they've maybe sat down with other people.
Exactly.
And they start sounding like they're of some country that's not really, I don't know. And they're bores.
Yeah.
And actually, they've got very little personality. They've got very little charisma. And you can nearly see them sneering at you.
Well,
boring people.
As I said, Stephen, I am who I am. I've worked with people. I've worked with very nice, well-educated people.
Absolutely.
I've worked with some snobs
yeah.
who don't even have the manners to speak to people like me because I'm not in the regroup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we were away with a crowd of people who I had the greatest admiration for. We were away last Thursday at a thing for curlers. Curs who I have the greatest admiration for, who are caring for their people, giving up their jobs to look after their people who need it. And we were away at the hospital down at Coleraine last Thursday. And we met some people who are from all over Northern Ireland who do good work. And they were well-educated people.
Mm.
And we were asked to put on a programme for them. And we put the program on, and some of those people actually cried. And after the program was over, came over and congratulated us and said how nice it was that people took the trouble. And these are well-educated people,
yeah.
top of the board, all over Northern Ireland.
Do you know the other really funny thing, Annie, by the way? It just struck me. What I find hilariously funny is people that come into money, right? They weren't born with money, they come into money, and as soon as they realise they've got money, they start changing the way they speak. Have you met those type of people as well? Those people that, you know, maybe they marry someone rich and then within a year, they're talking like that. They're talking like that. And, you know where some of us would maybe say, you know, it's a good game, it all of a sudden comes, a good game.
Yes.
It's a good game.
Well, I'm sorry.
Annie, thank you. Here's John and Bob and Norman. Morning, Annie. Bob in East Belfast. Morning, Bob.
Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning.
Well, I was speaking to your colleague there about language used on television.
Yes.
One of the most, I think, demeaning words used, and I'm afraid I could point a finger at you, but you're not on your own. It's the word cock up.
What's wrong with cock up?
I think it is a most degrading expression.
Ack, wise up.
It shouldn't be used.
Wise up.
Oh, no.
I wonder where that comes from, cock up.
Well, you can put your own connotation to it, you know.
Where does that come from?
I don't know where it comes from.
Bob, thank you, John and Kilrae. Morning to you, John. I must ask...
Stephen.
Yes, John.
Stephen.
Yes, John.
Hello, Stephen.
Yes, John.
Stephen, I'm a family of 16. And it was first up, best dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And hello, Stephen.
And you're proud of your background, John.
Yes. Quite proud of it.
Anthony, are you changing your mind here, listening to all these calls?
Do you know, I actually think there's been some sort of confusion. I just need to highlight, I'm actually from housing estates. I grew up on housing estates in Antrim. And I was actually in the press talking about that a couple of weeks ago because somebody was slagging them off. I haven't forgotten my roots. In fact, I'm very proud of them. And you said about the inward chuckle. Nothing pleases me more than when I sit down with the likes of Katie Hopkins and have a meeting with them. And I walk away and they do not realise.
Nothing would please me more than not having a meeting with Katie Hopkins.
Absolutely. But I've run circles around them and they've had circles run around them by a little boy from Little House in the State in Antrim who learned how to play their game. And that's what it's about, learning how to play their game so that you're not beaten by them.
I absolutely, totally disagree. I think what you should do is refuse to play their game. You see, when I go up, and I'm not suggesting he's posh, he's actually... I'll say this once in my life, he's a really good guy, but the controller of this organisation, right? I go up and have I go up and have meetings with him. I don't wear my shoes because I don't wear my shoes in work. I'm not going to put my shoes up on to go into an important meeting. I do not wear my shoes in work.
Right,
and then I wonder why I can't get a pay rise out of him, of course. I do not do it. Sorry, Bumper?
Who gives them the right to determine it's the game? Are they entitled to set the rules and tell us how to play and where to play, etc.?
Because, Bumper, quite often it's them who hold the keys to what it is that we want. So whenever you're going up the ladder, they hold the keys to the world you're after.
Yes,
so you've got to go.
They have no divine right to do so, and that's what we need to change.
And we need to change it by getting ourselves up there and taking it off them. And the only way to do that...
Don't play their game, Anthony. Anthony, don't be doing that. Don't be even trying to play their game. Play your own game.
You will never change anything from the outside. You've got to infiltrate it and then change it from the inside.
I don't know. The term, would you like to know where, Anthony, where cock-up came from?
Where did it come from?
Medieval archery. One of the three feathers on an arrow is a cock's feather. If the arrow was incorrectly placed in the bow for drawing and release...
Yes.
This is getting funnier. The arrow would go off course because of the cock's feather being up. And therefore, the arrow positioned wrongly on the bow, this was known as a cock-up.
Tally-ho!
Good.
And listen, I'm going to keep that piece of information and I'm going to use it at my next middle-class meeting.
Mm-hmm. Norman and Bangor.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Norman.
Stephen, I was born in Donegal, Abney, born and raised there, and I'm proud of where I was born and raised. And I left school, no degree.
Are you sure you know how to eat? Are you sure you know how to eat properly and dress properly?
I know how to eat, Stephen. I know how to dress properly. And what I want to sit among these politicians who are pretending to be something they're not.
Actually, that's unfair. If anything, if you can say anything about a lot of the politicians, they don't pretend to be posh.
You know, at Westminster, Stephen, it looks down on the working class people. Want to sit among that? No, I would not.
I'm not sure they do.
With their caviar and champagne, pretend to be something they're not. They're born with a silver spoon.
Well, thank you. Here's the news. It's 9:34.